No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Coltscast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley, and thank you guys for joining me here at the end of the week. Didn't have the show go up on Friday, typically at midnight like I usually do. We had some other circumstances that come up, but we do have two shows for you for the next 2 days, both today and going to release one on Friday night or Saturday morning, whatever you want to call it, at midnight. And we got two great ones for you. So today, what we have is we had an awesome opportunity to interview and kind of break down the history of these two guys and their pasts as backups to Peyton Manning. First, we've got Curtis Painter on, and then we'll have Jim Sorgi on as well. And it was really fascinating to kind of get to hear these guys and say what or see what they had to offer as far as what their reactions and their times were with Peyton Manning. It was really interesting and pretty good. I think you guys will love it. It's a great listen. So I'm not going to waste too much time on this, but I'm going to set you guys up with this. First, we're going to listen, like I said, to Curtis Painter. We'll have a quick break in between, and then we'll get to Sorgi towards the end of it. So I really hope that you guys enjoy this. And just one more note, please be understanding a little bit on some of the audio with Curtis and Jim. At least with Curtis's here, you can kind of hear him come in and out and stuff. I don't know if that was a connection issue on his end, or if it was maybe his face rubbing up against his phone or something like that. But you can definitely get 99% of what he's saying throughout there. And there's also at points in Jim's conversation a little clipping noise while he's talking, so hopefully that's not too indestructible while you guys are listening. You can understand that, but I appreciate if you guys can just be understanding with that. It's my apologies for that. And let's get Curtis Painter on the line. And now we've got Curtis Painter on the line, another one of Peyton Manning's backups. Curtis, thank you for joining the show. Really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. How many questions could we possibly ask? Thousands, I'm sure. But, you were not with Peyton for an extended period of time necessarily, but you did have one of the most interesting areas of his career, most definitely. Towards the end of his career in Indianapolis, especially through his neck surgery and stuff, and not only were you one of his backups, but you were able to start and have him on the sidelines during some of your games. So can you tell us a little bit what that was like, kind of going from one extreme to the other?
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly something that you don't necessarily prepare for. As a backup, you kind of hope. You're right. It was a kind of an interesting scenario. And, from the bare basics of it, what better, person to have in your corner and kind of mentoring you than Peyton. So, I certainly, embraced the opportunity, and I really felt like, he helped me a lot in just getting overcoming some things and making everything possible that I could.
What were some of the things that you would say that you learned the most from Peyton? I mean, obviously he was dealing with, his neck surgery and stuff, kind of the aftermath of that and such, but, mm-hmm. And there was probably a lot going around in the building, at that time, especially being that, there was obviously some questions as to whether Peyton was going to remain with the team and stuff. But I mean, and that's just a different atmosphere, I would assume, than just about anybody's ever been able to experience alongside him. But what were some of the things that he was able to do from the sideline in between drives and just in the on the practice field, off the field in general, like in personal life and stuff like that, that was able to help you prepare for your ultimate starting job there in 2011?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it started early on. As a rookie coming in, a guy fresh out of college, to go into a scenario like, his backup, and even the Colts organization, but to learn how he prepared and the way he put the effort into each game, each practice, even each film session, it was incredible for a young guy like me to see that, here's a guy that's been in the league, at that time, arguably one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and he's still putting in more effort than anybody else, putting in more time and studying even the basics all over again every day. So you know, like I said, to be a young guy and to see that, like, that really put a good mindset on my, you know, what it takes to be a quarterback. And, you know, everybody knows the kind of guy he is, you know, in interviews and you know, outside of football, he's humble, you know, very respectful. And I think, you know, that's another thing that helped me, you know, as a young guy later on when I started playing, was just to, you know, how to treat people, whether it be the media or fans, you know, whether good things happened or bad. So, you know, I think I learned a lot about, you know, him as a person, more than I did anything on the field, which is great for me.
Do you think that if, like any other quarterback, would have gone down, that you could have had maybe more success, or what did you learn from the experience itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say.
I mean, because you were ultimately, you know, like following, you know, I mean, it's kind of like a comedian on a stage, you know, it's a hard act to follow, obviously.
Sure. No, I see what you mean. You know, I don't think that, you know, I guess it's hard to say if the scenario was different, would I had more success? I don't know. I look at it as a positive thing. And like I said, you know, he was such a great guy to come on the field and to come off the field and talk to. I mean, he literally has been in every scenario you could imagine. So to be able to pick his brain and kind of see, you know, when he fell on the sideline, I think that was the best, you know, I guess, resource for me at that time.
Absolutely. Was it kind of a completely different life mindset, I suppose, coming out of Purdue, being in Lafayette, you know, a long time, then going to Indianapolis, but the change from Big Ten to Indianapolis behind Peyton Manning, you know, how much of a difference in life was that? And was it something that you were like, kind of felt like you had to pinch yourself at times to kind of really take hold of what was actually going on?
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just being able to, you know, get the opportunity to meet him, you know, let alone learn from him, was a huge honor and opportunity for me. You know, I'd be lying if I say I wasn't, you know, excited for that opportunity and, you know, as giddy as anybody else is to meet a superstar, because that really, before me getting there, that's what he was. He was a guy that I looked up to and idled. And, you know, now that I'm there and with him, you know, I finally see what kind of guy he really is and such a great, you know, person to be around.
How often did Manning show kind of a fiery side in practices and or games? I mean, because we all see, you know, how pumped up he was and how fired up. You know, the dude never wanted to come off the field, even on 4th and 10. You know, I mean, that just wasn't in his mindset. How often did he show that kind of side to him as a person, as far as, and you know, I mean, I don't really know what I mean by that, but as just what you would describe as a fiery Peyton on the field or off the field?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's daily. It was every practice, but I mean that in the best way, you know, possible. I mean, he demanded so much of himself, and I think other guys kind of rallied around that. And, you know, like you said, he never wanted to come off the field during the game, but what was so incredible was, you know, he never wanted to take a rep off in practice either, you know, whether it be a walkthrough, routes, whether it be, you know, handoffs with the running backs. He wanted to make everything so perfect that he always, you know, he was always on. And that, I think that's what is able to, you know, set him apart from everybody else. It's just, you know, but not too many guys have that mentality where, you know, they just want to do everything and have everything perfect. And you know, like I said, I think that's such an incredible quality that's hard to come by.
Now, you were asked to come together for this this video tribute to Peyton and get together with Sorgi and Brock Huard. How cool was that for you? And how cool would you assume that it was for the other guys? Was that a really good time for you guys?
It was. It was awesome. I mean, you know, just for me, you know, I didn't know Brock much beforehand, but, you know, you develop such a camaraderie with guys that you play with, and even the NFL, it's kind of a brotherhood. And so just meeting with Brock and kind of hanging out with him, you know, you strike up a little bit of a friendship there. And with Sorgi, you know, I played with him, you know, for several years, and, you know, haven't seen him in a while, but, you know, all of those, you know, friendships and everything comes, you know, right back to you. And I think that's the whole premise behind, you know, the video. You know, we've all been friends with Peyton. He's such a great person to kind of be around and a great friend. But, you know, that was kind of just brought everything together. And to be able to, you know, do the little Bud Light clip and you know, just kind of show our appreciation and the way we all, you know, interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever, on a lighter side here, were you ever a victim of one of Peyton's pranks? And if so, what was his best one? Whether or not you were personally, but what was the best prank that you saw him do if you weren't a part of one?
I was a part of one, but I know it's one of his staples, so I really can't give it away because he might use it in the future. But one of the best things that happened, I think I can tell it because I don't know if they'll use it anymore, but we were, when I was a rookie with the Colts, it was Thanksgiving and we had a local grocery store that I think they were, you know, some sponsors of ours. So the big thing on Thanksgiving was, hey, this grocery store is going to donate turkeys to all of the Colts players. And so, you know, as a rookie, you're not thinking anything about it. You're just thinking, you know, what a great gesture. I'm going to take a turkey home to my family. It's going to be great. So, you know, as rookies, we have to run the errands and do the dirty work, obviously. So Peyton has me go get his turkey, and he's so kind. You know, what I find out later is not so kind, but he was going to donate his turkey to my family because he knew I was local and I had some family in town. So here he is being such a gentleman, donating his turkey to me. So I go to the grocery store, and all of us rookies kind of show up at the same time after practice, and come to find out, we go behind the meat counter, and we have to do some skits to get our turkey. So we all kind of make a fool of ourselves, and, you know, long story short, the next day, we go into the film room, and apparently all of our skits and songs and everything in those was being filmed. So we had to watch the video and get pretty embarrassed. And if that wasn't the worst, you come to find out that our bags of turkey were actually large blocks of ice. So you can imagine, you know, putting it in your fridge, you know, hoping to have a nice juicy turkey the next day, and it's just a wet bag of melted ice. So it was quite the experience, and you know, some guys found out earlier than others, but yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. But that's one of the best jokes that I was a victim of, for sure.
What was one of the better ones that you weren't a part of?
Shoot, put me on the spot.
If none come to mind, that's all right.
I'd have to think about that when I'll try to think of one before the time's up here.
And in kind of the same regard there, how well received was Peyton as far as being on the other end of any of those pranks?
He didn't take it quite as well as he dished it, but he does have a good sense of humor. And if you get him really well, I think he takes it better than if it's not funny. So
right.
You better bring your A game if you're going to try to get him back, for sure.
Right.
But in saying that, the game really never ends with him. So if you get him, you're always going to be on your toes expecting something else, because he will get you back if you embarrass him or you know, play a prank.
Absolutely. that kind of goes without saying as well. I mean, so tell me a little bit about kind of how what was the juncture of when you three got together? What was the most common thing that you guys were doing? Was it necessarily sharing stories about being with Peyton, or was it just simply, you know, that you guys are here to honor Peyton on such a big weekend, and kind of describe the way you saw him in the community as far as his generosity and stuff like that? Because he's one of the most influential people in Indianapolis's history, especially in sports history. I mean, and that goes well beyond that. But kind of, if you could kind of go through some of those for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to answer kind of the first part about that was, you know, when you're getting together for something like that, it's hard not to talk about him just because he's the reason. And you know, he brought us all together. We're all good friends now, and And you know, going back to even kind of one of the first things I said and what I learned so early on with my relationship with him is he is, you know, as genuine as a person as you could be, you know, both on the field and off the field. And like you mentioned, just a tremendous guy in the community. So a guy that can be, he has achieved almost every, you know, award and recognition that he could, is still as humble as anybody and as giving as anybody could be. He could be very self-centered and cocky as good as he is, but he's never been that way, no matter what success he's had. So I think that's, you know, just is such a tribute to his personality and the kind of guy he is.
And did you ever hear any of the talk? I mean, was there any talk, I mean, in the locker room as far as I'm doing this today or I'm doing that? Or is it kind of like one of those kill you with silence almost that you just always see all this stuff that he's doing out in the community, whether it be the hospital or giving to the needy or helping on, you know, for example, like legitimately helping on Thanksgiving or something like that? Or was it just kind of, you know, that's just who he is and that's just what he's going to continue to do and he doesn't really think twice about it?
No, that's, you know, that's exactly how it is. He's the kind of guy that gives and gives and gives and never wants any recognition for it. You know, because of who he is, he gets so much recognition when he does. But I fully believe that if he could just slide under the radar and do things without anybody knowing, he would, just because he never wants that attention, you know, at least, you know, from what I see. And just does it just because of the kind of guy he is and the goodness of his heart.
Now, you did get, aside from being, you know, the starter in 2011 when his neck surgery was really, you know, mm-hmm. going through all of its phases, you did get to see some of the year, or a couple of years anyways, before he had that, and he was really just, I mean, legitimately killing it, you know. 33 touchdowns the first couple of years before you were there. Obviously, just right. leading the league in attempts and completions and, you know, 68 completion percentage, 4,500 yards. It just seemed like this was, you know, just a regular for this guy. How different,
right.
as far as on a personal level, was there ever any difference in him? And I don't mean that, you know, how he treated people, but I mean the, like, kind of his how he was mentally from going from being that high on the totem pole as far as just playing out of his mind to being forced to sit out an entire year. Did that almost, I mean, that was just, I'm sure that was a different time for him.
Well, you know, I don't think he, you know, I'm sure it was very obviously difficult. He, you know, played in so many consecutive games and then now all of a sudden is sidelined. So I'm sure it was very, you know, tough mentally. I guess I can't speak, you know,
sure.
on an exact, you know, mental is whatever he was thinking, but he, you know, he didn't show it. He came in and he worked hard, no matter if it was, you know, rehab on his neck or another part of his body. He took everything he did to the fullest and gave it 100%. So even though he wasn't on the field, he was doing everything he could. He was always the first one there, last one to leave. You know, it's so cliche, but it was so true with him. So, you know, even though I'm sure, like you said, like we talked about, it was tough for him, you know, he never let it show, you know, out on a personal level. And that's kind of, you know, back to the true professional that he is. He goes to work, works hard, and you know, does it and to help others, you know, whether it be on the sidelines or on the field.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that. That would almost be like that he would rather have a terrible season than not even to be able to step on the field at all. And as the competitor that he is, I'm sure that that's true. Real quick.
Yeah, I'm sure it was tough.
Absolutely. Curtis, thank you for joining us today. But before I get you out of here, I wanted to ask you kind of what was one of the things that has happened to you with your situation with Peyton, your friendship, your relationship with him? What are one of the things that touched you the most about Peyton in your time together, working closely together on the Indianapolis Colts?
You know, I think you know, I guess what I always thought was so, you know, incredible. Here's a guy that, you know, he's a little bit older than me. I won't call him old because you might get upset with me, but here I am, you know, a young guy coming in as a rookie. He's a guy that's, you know, several years older than me at the peak of his career, but, you know, he treated me like an equal. You know, he still, you know, taught me things at practice, you know, helped me out. He wasn't one of those guys that, you know, looked at the rookies kind of like they should be in the shadows and be seen and not heard. And, you know, he really helped me out. And, you know, on a friendship level, you know, treated me like I, you know, was his age, and we've known each other for years. And you know, for me, like I said, being a young guy, I was always so surprised at how, you know, he could treat everybody the same and with respect, no matter your age or, you know, exactly who you were. So I think that's what, you know, what made our friendship so fun, I guess, nice, is that, you know, I could hang out with him. I didn't feel inferior. I didn't feel like, you know, he was doing it just to do it. I really felt like we, you know, had that relationship, and it was genuine. And he's just, he's been a good guy to me and a good friend, and certainly appreciative of that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, they're just, I think that's something that a lot of people that he's worked with and played with and just been around in general have said, from the media to players and, you know, to ball boys and equipment guys and all
right.
that stuff. I mean, that kind of is the same thing that gets repeated over and over again. And you genuinely feel that people are being honest about it too. And, you know, as much as anybody in Indianapolis loves what he's done for the city and for the team and for our footballism, if you want to call it that, to, you know, it's just been great for him. And I'm excited for this tribute. And I thank you for coming on the show, man. It was great to get to have it be have a moment with you and see some of the inside stuff that you were able to experience.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. It's been fun.
Hope you guys enjoyed that. Really good information there. Fun to kind of ask a couple questions, you know, that you don't typically get to ask guys, not only former quarterbacks, but former backups to Peyton Manning. So, I mean, it was really interesting to do that. You know, this was really cool because teammates often become great friends, and they're the people you can always depend on. Peyton and his backup quarterbacks, Jim Sorgi, Curtis Painter, and even Brock Huard, counted on each other, and when they play together, through both the wins and losses and their friendship, they always remain constant. It's really an interesting concept here where these guys, all backups and all friends with Peyton Manning, but not only that, but they're friends with each other, which is really cool. Bud Light brought these three former players together to celebrate their mutual friend and NFL great Peyton Manning with a tribute video, and we'll be putting this up on Stampede Blue as well here pretty soon on the eve of his jersey retirement ceremony. It's really a great weekend of retirement and to be hoisting or to, you know, to unveil this statue. I think this is just really cool stuff. And thank you for Will Catrione and Bud Light for helping us get these guys on, and as well as getting us this video and stuff. It's really been great. Stay tuned, guys. Give us a few minutes here, and we're going to come back with Jim Sorgi. And now we've got Jim Sorgi on the line, longtime backup of Peyton Manning. Jim, thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. So between 2004 to 2009, obviously, you were, you know, one of the luckiest backups in the world, but also kind of one of the unluckiest at the same time. When you come in from the college ranks and you realize that you're going to be Peyton Manning's backup, what was that like? Was that a little bit of, you know, an issue at first, or was it kind of welcomed that you were going to be able to learn under one of the guys who was already established himself as one of the best in the game?
I was ecstatic when I got drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. I was the first quarterback taken in the draft since they drafted Peyton Manning. So that was an honor in and of itself. Obviously, he was the number one pick overall. I was round six, so it was a little bit of a difference. I knew my role. I knew what I was coming in there to do. But the first time I walked in the locker room and saw him, I was kind of in awe. I mean, it's Peyton Manning, you know. But he came over and introduced himself to me, made me feel really comfortable, really at home. But it still was a surreal moment because he had just come off that 2003 season where that offense in Indianapolis was rolling. I mean, they were scoring a ton of points. They were throwing the ball over the field. He was checking everything. So I knew that I had to come in and I had to kind of study my P's and Q's just in case the opportunity ever came where I was going to have to take over for him in some sort of capacity, whether it was game, half, a season, a half a season, whatever that may be. So there was a lot of I felt lucky to be in Indianapolis working and learning under Peyton, but there was also a lot of pressure because he was at that time, 6 seasons in his career, and already kind of being labeled as one of the best to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where he's gone from that point till, you know, 12 years later when he retired is above and beyond. But I knew I had to work. I knew I had to be there for him as a teammate and do whatever I could to support him in getting to where he wanted to get to. And I knew I could do that. I was always a very good teammate. So I just felt like it was important for me to do whatever I could to make his life easier, to make him play the best he could on the field, all the while learning from one of the best and hopefully one day kind of taking what I learned to kind of go and be successful with my own team.
Now, was that a role that he expected from you? Like when he comes to the sideline, looking at previous plays, was that something he expected with you from you to kind of help him through some coverages and stuff like that?
Well, our relationship kind of grew over time. You know, I backed him up for 6 seasons, more seasons than any other backup he had. So when I first got there, I'm a rookie. He's not going to really rely on a rookie with something all that important, okay?
Right.
So I would get my little assignments from him that he wanted done on Fridays. But as the years kind of went on, I think he started to trust me more. Not only were we teammates, we kind of became friends. And as our friendship grew, that's kind of what it was. I wasn't just Peyton Manning's backup. I was his, you know, his teammate, his backup, his friend, and whatever he needed. I started to, you know, get a little bit more of a role. And when he came off to the sidelines, a little bit more of a role during the week, putting things together for him with the game plan. Obviously, he had the final say, you know, because
sure,
we're talking about Peyton Manning. But he felt more comfortable. And, you know, we had a lot of great minds in that room figuring things out. First of all, his, which is probably the greatest at the position, at least in my mind, I think it is. I was there. Coach Caldwell was there. Coach Dungy was there. Coach Tom Moore was there. Toward the end of my tenure in Indianapolis, Coach Frank Reich was there. Howard Mudd, our offensive line coach, assistant offensive line, Pete Metzler. So we had a lot of great minds trying to figure a lot of things out. Had a lot of great players that had a lot of information as well. It was Jeff Saturday in the offensive line. Receivers, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin James, Dallas Clark, Marcus Pollard. I mean, I can go on and on and on. So
right.
There was a lot of people kind of collaborating on how to fix the problems we were going to see from the team that week and watching a lot of film and trying to learn and trying to put the best offense we could on the field for that week.
What was probably the most important thing that you feel like you learned studying behind and under Peyton Manning?
I mean, everybody's going to tell you the same thing, and I'm going to be just like everybody else in terms of, I mean, the day-in, day-out work ethic of this man was incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think he felt some sort of that he had to do it because so many people were relying on him because he was such a key part of those football teams and that offense. Fans, you know, he didn't want to let the fans down, didn't want to let the city, the state, the coaches, his teammates, his family. He didn't want to let anybody down, and he worked and worked and worked and worked and was not satisfied till every stone was overturned and every nook and cranny was looked at. And but the way his mind worked was absolutely phenomenal. I remember sitting in meetings, and we'd be watching film, and something would just pop in his head about a play he might have run against this defensive coordinator or this defense 5 years ago, and he knew the exact play, the exact game, which way we were going on the field, which quarter, right around the three-minute mark, tell me to go get the film, and we'd grab it, we'd watch it, and then throw it in the game plan that week. And that's how amazing it was. But truly, to have the knowledge that he had and then take it to the field, I mean, there would be times toward that I backed him up, I'd be standing on the sidelines, and I'd watch a play being run from the sidelines, and I could not recognize the play, and I'd have to wait to watch the film afterwards, and it would be, I would just be amazed. How did he put that together? Like, how did he put that front side route with that backside route, and it worked, and we scored a touchdown, and it was truly amazing. But, I mean, I had a pretty good grasp on the offense toward the end of my career, and he'd still do that on the field where I was like, I don't know what play that is. And I knew every play we had. So it was amazing. And the fact that the guys on the field could kind of keep up with him and get the check or get the hand signal, get the code word, it was kind of a beautiful thing to watch.
Mm-hmm. And obviously his nickname, the Sheriff, kind of fits his mentality on the field. Everybody talks about he was basically the coach on the field. But how much control did Peyton actually have of that offense?
I mean, he had free reign, free will. I mean, he would always get the call in from the sideline. It always would be like a front side run, a backside run, and a pass. Sometimes he would just call the pass, and then if the look gave him a run, he'd go to the run. But he had free reign to change anything, check anything, go to what he wanted to go to. And that's all based on the trust that the coaching staff had in him. Now, I'm sure I wasn't with him for the first 6 years, so I'm sure it took a little while for him to gain that trust from the coaching staff. But after a while, when I got there from the start to my last game I ever played with him, he had control to change, manipulate, check, do whatever he wanted to do. And I think that just, you know, stems from the core of what football is all about, you know, trusting yourself, trusting your teammates, trusting your coaches, and trusting him to make the right decision. And everybody knew he was going to.
Now, on a little bit lighter note here, were you ever a victim of one of Peyton's pranks? And if so, what was the best one?
No, I never really was a victim of his pranks. I never really was in on a lot of his pranks, too. He kept it very close to the chest. A lot of times, you didn't know it until after it happened. Like, somebody's golf cart ended up on a raft in the middle of a pond where we had camp one year. And I'm not going to confirm or deny that he had anything to do with that. But that stuff doesn't happen unless, you know, a few people on the team said it did. So it was just funny. Like, we had a sideline reporter, Jeffrey Gorman, and I remember seeing a video of Peyton running from the field to the locker room, and you see this guy, Jeffrey, doing a sideline report and him kind of toss a football, hit him in the head as he's running into the locker room. Just things like that. But, you know, he was always fun to be around. He was always cracking jokes. He was always playing with his teammates. But when it was time to work, it was time to work. When it was time to play, it was time to play. I mean, we had a great time off the field, you know, taking the team to the Kentucky Derby, going to see that, and, you know, him having like pre-Indy 500 race parties at his condo downtown, or a suite at the Indy 500, or having all the guys over, as many guys as wanted to come over, didn't have anywhere to go on Thanksgiving. He invited everybody over for Thanksgiving. He always took care of the people around him, you know, whether it was the cooking staff, cooking meals, the training staff, fixing you up with the equipment staff, getting your stuff ready. You know, he'd always remind the players, and he'd do it himself to tip those guys around the holidays because they truly do take care of us. So he was a guy that not only was on it on the football field, but on it off the football field as well. And when you can take what he did on the field, which was, you know, incredible, what he did off the field in terms of Peyton Manning Children's Hospital, reaching out to the youth, which is incredible, and then put them together, you get a legendary figure like Peyton Manning. And that's kind of what it's all about.
Now, how receptive was he as far as on the receiving end of any of those pranks? I mean, like, for example, did you ever, you know, rib him or anything like that as far as having a better, like, maybe you should have been the starter since you had a better career touchdown to interception percentage ratio?
Never. Ever. <Okay. laughs> All right. I mean, I knew what I was. You know, first couple of years, I got the coffee and the subs on the way to the plane. You know what I mean? Like, that was whatever I had to do for him. Like I said, I was kind of whatever he needed to be, at that time. You know, you'd have a couple of guys, maybe some of the more tenured guys, you know, kind of making fun of him a little bit before a walkthrough on the way. He kind of, you know, sat in the pocket and moved his feet and kind of bobbed his head a little bit. Marcus Pollard was always good at that and getting a good laugh. But, sometimes the old line would maybe get after him and rib him a little bit. But I knew my place. I knew what I was there to do, and I did my job.
Well, I meant more like off the field as far as like in your personal lives, you know. Definitely not on the field. I wouldn't have asked.
We would make fun of him a little bit, you know, after he did like his Saturday Night Live thing, which was absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. you know, things like that. You know, his commercials are great, right? I mean, right. The Nationwide commercial right now where he's like doing it with Brad Paisley, I still laugh. And then the ESPYs, when that opening monologue, I mean, I crack up. And I'm kind of just, the whole thing about him kind of reaching out to me and a couple of the other backups last week, asking us to do, if we'd be interested in doing this kind of video tribute to him. And you know, I kind of got to thank Bud Light for bringing us together to be able to do that and honor him and all that stuff. But it's things like that that are just kind of make him who he is. And the Colts in this city are doing it right with the statue and putting a jersey in the Ring of Honor and doing the whole ceremony thing. I think it's the way he should be honored after what he's done for this city. I mean, you can look at any part of Indiana, and it's really hard to find something he didn't touch, whether it's, you know, parents naming their kids Peyton or the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital or, you know, more kids playing football around here because they want him to be him. Lucas Oil being built, all the, you know, winning the Super Bowl, getting to another Super Bowl, all the division titles, all the records. I mean, he turned this state, in particular the city of Indianapolis, from a basketball city to a football city. And that's very difficult to do. But, I mean, he was able to do that. And he didn't do it alone. I mean, obviously, like we talk about, he had some great teammates. He had some great coaches and a lot of people helping him along the way. But he was like the main cog in that wheel.
Yeah, he was very extremely special. And I can speak on that in a personal matter as well. I mean, my oldest right now is just getting into high school as a freshman. And when she was young, we had to take her to Peyton Manning's hospital, you know, and that, I mean, that just not only how it was brought in, but how long it's been here and how it's still Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital, you know, I mean, he was definitely the perfect person for the perfect football city at the time. I mean, there was no questioning that he's definitely forced this city to make significant strides in football and everything else. But
I mean, to host in a Super Bowl, to the way Peyton Manning Children's Hospital is thriving. And it's not just, hey, I'm going to put my name on something. It's I'm going to come back. I'm going to visit people. I'm going to put on events. I'm going to do commercials. He's going to do whatever it takes for it to be successful. And you talk about those little, you know, personal touches. I mean, he writes those personal notes, you know, and sends them to people wanting to tell him how much he appreciated something or to keep their head up or to do this or to do that or congratulations on your accomplishments. I mean, he writes those personal letters. That takes time, man. And this is probably not a guy who's sitting around having a lot of time on his hands. But that personal touch is something I truly think he believes in. And it's impressive that he continues to do that, those sort of things.
I absolutely agree. And you can say, for one thing, through his football career to all the things that he's done, like the hospital and the countless things he's done for the city of Indianapolis, to his jokes, to his commercials, to everything, the one thing about Peyton Manning that will never be disputed is his delivery. I mean, that was everything about his life from the time he was brought into Indianapolis, like I said, from the delivery of his throw, the delivery on his jokes, the delivery in how he brings these things to Indianapolis. That might be the one thing that he's going to be known for as much as being a fantastic quarterback and one of the best of all time.
Yeah, and he strives to do his best in everything he does. He's always prepared, from his speech he gave when he left Indy to his speech he gave when he retired to I'm sure his speech this weekend when he speaks at his statue unveiling. You know, it's going to be well thought out. It's going to be well prepared. It's going to be thorough and to the point and direct. And he's going to thank everybody he wants to thank, and he's going to do it the right way. From, you know, everybody that I've talked to this week about him, media guys that got invited to the reception for his statue unveiling that he might have not got along with, but he knows they have a job to do. He knows that they were doing their job. And now it's water under the bridge. So he invites them to this important event. But I'm just glad that we were able to stay in touch, stay friends, still talk to each other, still can talk about our kids and football and, you know, and have a good time when we see each other. Like, and that's how you know you really know somebody and you really get along and you really truly are close, is that no matter how much time has gone by since you've seen them or talked to them, when you do, it's like you just talked to them or saw them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You can just kind of pick up the conversation and just kind of go with it. And that's how it is when we talk. When he called last week to talk about the Bud Light tribute video, we talked about the kids and his kids being in first grade and him being a volunteer assistant, a flag football coach. I'm like, come on, man, you're taking over that team. You're going to have him run no huddle in like 2 weeks. I mean, hand signals and everything. Those kids can stick together until they're in high school. That's going to be a darn good football team.
Right.
But we share stories like that and what he's doing and talk about football and games and players. And it's like we talk every day.
Yeah, and that really is remarkable that you guys have that relationship and that you guys and that he's got that relationship, I believe, probably with other backups as well, that he's just in general guys that he's played with. He tries to stay close to them. That's always been something you hear time in and time out as far as past players that he's played with, even if it was only for a year or two, that he always has
right.
been that guy to, you know, lend a hand or just to lend a conversation of some sort to them. And that, I think that's really cool. I mean, that's really remarkable for all the things that he's done and all the things that he continues to do. That's really, really cool of a guy of his stature as well.
Yeah, but let's not get him mixed up. I'm his favorite backup ever.
Right.
Okay, I mean, let's just throw that out there. I know Brock Heward and Curtis Painter were in this Bud Light tribute video with me honoring Peyton. And the fact his jersey's going up, but I was with him the longest. Okay. Those other guys, you know, just a couple, I mean, think Brock was with him 2 years. Curtis was with him 3 years. If you add it together, it's five. I was with him six. So I think I got a leg up, you know, I mean, I wish I was with him longer,
right.
Yeah, it was fun. And me and Curtis were together for a year until my time was up in Indy. So we got to know each other. So it was great to see him, at the production of the Bud Light video. And then Brock, I know him. We've been introduced to each other. It's good to see those guys. Good to see those guys. I mean, I would always obviously do whatever it takes to honor him and his legacy, because I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Now, I never really got to play with any other quarterbacks besides him and Eli for a year. And I don't know how an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady go about their business, but for what Peyton Manning meant to this city and this team and how important he was to the success of both the city and the team, it truly, in my mind, makes him the greatest quarterback of all time.
And I think that there'd be a lot of fans that would definitely agree with you. Jim, thank you so much for your time today, man. This was great to get a little bit inside of a point of view from a guy that was with him for that long and that was really, you know, in his hip pocket, so to speak, throughout, you know, the majority of the middle of his career, right there in the prime, right as he gets to go. It was really cool. Is there anything else that you wanted to throw out there about him that might be interesting to us?
Yeah, I really truly think I had the best view. I had his back no matter what. I know he had my back. I have his back today. I know he still has my back. I got to back him up for six seasons, from 04 to 09, and it was truly in the middle of his career when he was just on fire. And I know he did some great things before I got here, and he did some great things after I left. But to be able to watch those 6 years and just watch him kind of burn through this league and just make it look easy, even though it wasn't easy. I think
he did some crazy stuff.
I think he's a special person. He did some special things, and I'm glad he's experienced all the success he has and that he's being honored the way he's being honored.
I agree. I totally agree. I think that's going to be a fantastic tribute weekend. And I know that a lot of Colts fans, and I would probably venture to say a lot of the guys like you or like his coaches or even former media members, especially that, you know, had the time to really be a part of all that, the entire situation of his career here in Indianapolis, are really going to enjoy this and really going to be happy for him legitimately as a person. I know that he's always treated the media with respect, called us by name, so on and so forth. I mean, he's just a class act, and I know that he was that way on the field as well and in the locker room as well. I mean, I don't know that we've ever heard anything otherwise, and that's he's just a special player, a special person, especially for this city.
Yeah, legendary, iconic, and he's going to live in NFL lore, Colts lore, Broncos lore for forever, as he should. And I'm just glad I was along for the ride for those 6 years. And I think everybody agrees that they were witnessing something special in his time here in Denver. And, yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your time, man.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Another great wealth of knowledge there from Jim Sorgi. Really interesting to hear kind of his take on him and kind of the personal view of it. It's similar to what Curtis was saying. It was just really fascinating, really interesting to listen to. And, we get a lot of information from these guys. So I hope that you guys enjoyed that. Make sure you guys are rating and reviewing on iTunes. And stay tuned for tomorrow's show. We're going to have Mark Schofield on here to kind of break down what Kyle Shanahan's scheme is like, how it's going to work with Hoyer, what the Colts can do to kind of combat that defensively. So stay tuned for that. That's going to go up here in about 12 hours or so or less. So thank you guys for listening, and I'll talk to you all again right here on the Colts Cast.